and what?
You've arrived here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryou.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is an interview podcast about the TV shows that people love most. Each episode, we bring on a guest to discuss their top six shows of all time, based on what we call the BFF criteria. With so much TV out there, we want to know, what are the best shows you've ever seen? What are your absolute favorite shows? And what are the shows you would watch on a loop forever?
That's right. Each episode, our guests will pick two shows in each of the three BFF categories. But for this episode, we don't have a guest. Instead, we are revealing our own BFF criteria and sharing our top six shows with each other for the very first time. So, what is this BFF criteria? And how does it work? So there's going to be two shows in each of the three categories. The categories are best, favorite, and forever.
The best shows are the ones that we think are the most artistic or well-executed or just overall the best made shows we've ever seen. Our favorite shows are the ones that hold a place near and dear to our hearts and mean something to us personally. And then the best way to describe the forever category is if you died tomorrow and in the afterlife, you get to choose two shows to watch in order from pilot to finale over and over forever. What are those?
So, of course, there are a few rules. For each category, we're choosing from the three overall genres of TV, which are comedy, drama, and unscripted, with unscripted meaning everything from reality shows to doc series. And there have to be multiple episodes, so there's no one-offs allowed. And other than that, it can be anything. There are no such thing as guilty pleasures here. And as you'll see when we start going through our list, we are very accepting of all TV, okay?
All kinds.
And the only other rule is that you can't double up on a genre in any category. So if you pick a comedy in your best category, your other pick must either be unscripted or drama. So let's talk about some shows, our shows.
Oh my God. So a quick behind the curtain, we have done a couple episodes, Brandi and I, with a couple guests, and we've been waiting to reveal our criteria to each other to kind of, I don't know, think about it as we have these conversations and kind of form it in our own heads. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I can tell you not a week goes by that I don't change something on it. What about you, Brandi?
I'm with you. I have in my notes app, it's literally like every show, it's like, or this, or this, or this. I have to pick one. So like, there's still one category where I still need to make a decision, but like,
same.
Yeah, it's very tough.
But I think that's important to realize about this though, is this, you know, we frame it as our top six shows of all time, and that's exactly what it is. But this list also reflects a moment in time, right? You know, mm-hmm. like yes. We mentioned at the top, like there's so much TV that there could be something that is new that has yet to come out that will crack our criteria in the future. There might be something that maybe we've seen once, that upon a rewatch, we're like, whoa, that hits different. And maybe it's deserving of a best or forever or whatever the case may be. So
something that we're maybe in the middle of right now. I'm looking at you, Pen 15.
Yeah. And this is going to come in big time in the first couple of shows I want to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it. Speaking of, let's get into it. Okay. So let's start with our best category, as we always do.
Yes.
So we mentioned that we've been going back and forth. This is where I'm going to start.
Okay.
I have two shows. They're both dramas. And I think they're both some of the best television I've ever seen, just from a quality standpoint. You know, they look beautiful. They're written amazing. The level of detail and depth. The characters are great. They both share a same universe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm referring to Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Okay.
I loved Breaking Bad. I think I initially, if I'm remembering correctly, I caught wind of it. It was in its maybe second season, so I didn't have a ton to catch up on. And then I watched it week to week. So for me,
wow, starting the second season week to week.
Like second or third season, I would say. Yeah.
Because
wow. I viscerally remember watching the end of the third season live.
Yeah.
But so this was one of the first shows that I felt like I was part of the monoculture in, like, discussing and debating and reading every Vulture article and TV Club and, you know, going the deep dive of, like, you know, all the color tones in Breaking Bad. And if they're wearing green, it means this. If it's yellow, it means this. And Marie always wears purple and, like, all the rabbit hole stuff. So that really, I really enjoyed that. I mean, there were other shows before this, you know, The Lost and all that. But this felt like one that's, as monoculture stuff started dropping off and there was more and more options and more shows, this one really, I think, held the collective attention of people, but also was one of the first that experienced a significant Netflix bump. Like, I remember a dramatic difference between the last couple seasons watching the show and seasons like 3 and 4 when it hadn't hit Netflix yet. And then people caught up and it was huge. It was a huge show. You watched Breaking Bad.
I did watch Breaking Bad. And I love that Breaking Bad kind of bridges that time before, like, it bridges the time of, like, having to watch week to week and binging on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because I started watching it probably in season 4. Season 3, I'm not trying to give away any spoilers or anything, but, like, season 3 is when something very big happens at the end and it's like, oh my God, how am I going to wait to see what happens in season 4, right?
Okay. Yes. Big cliffhanger. That's okay. Right. Yeah. There's a big Jesse cliffhanger. We won't go more specific than that, but if you've watched the show, you know what we're referring to.
But, like, also, if you haven't seen it, guys, like, get with it. Okay. All right. So I won't make the big spoiler, but yes, I love that this kind of bridges that gap between, like, the watching week to week and, like, the Netflix binge, because, like, when people did that Netflix binge of 3 and 4, they then had to wait.
Yeah.
When 5 came out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, that was a big thing. Cause then 5 was split into 2, or was it 5 and 6? Like, how did
it was 5A and 5B.
Okay.
It was one of those, it was one of the first shows also that did this. It's really we're going to call it one, but it's really 2 seasons with 6 episodes and 7 episodes. We're going to make you wait.
Yeah.
An inordinate amount of time in the middle for no reason, but it works.
Give
people time to catch up even more on Netflix. You know, it's nothing new to say that Breaking Bad is one of the best shows made in the peak TV era. I'm not uncovering new ground here. But what I want to talk about is how it compares to Better Call Saul, which is the other show that's kind of vying for this best in drama category for me. Because Breaking Bad is very well established. Everyone kind of understands the story of, you know, Walter White. It's the story of this chemistry teacher learns how to, or gets in the meth trade with a former student, Jesse Pinkman, played by Aaron Paul, and starts cooking meth. This isn't a spoiler, happens in the first episode. And it was just phenomenally well done. And I do want to say it's the best show I've ever seen. And I can say that because I did a somewhat recent rewatch of, like, the last 6 or 7 episodes right before El Camino came out, which was the Netflix original movie that kind of extended the story of the Jesse Pinkman character. And they held up, and I loved, and I was still thrilled, and it had been a couple years, and it kind of cemented for me that, like, oh yeah, this is still way up there. But then, you know, if you've been watching Better Call Saul, my God, this show, Bob Odenkirk as Saul Goodman, real name Jimmy McGill. It's the origin story of the Saul Goodman character who comes around in season 2 of Breaking Bad and is there until the end. And what's really cool about this show is it's the same creators of Breaking Bad. It's the same team, the same, like, production crew, a lot of the same locations in Albuquerque. So the bar is set pretty high, but they know they can clear it because it's the same people that you trust. But they're dealing with a character that you know pretty much how a story ends because Breaking Bad. Mm-hmm. So they have to keep it exciting and suspenseful and keep you guessing, even though you know where this character ends up. So I think that's actually a more difficult challenge.
I agree.
And they have done so damn well. And now, so, like, the first 3 seasons feel very much like its own thing. It feels like this is a new show. It's a spinoff. The character feels very different. And it's kind of this story about two brothers, and it has a lot of really cool elements and themes to it. But then there's been 5 seasons total. I think there's only one more. I think it's the 6th is its last. These last 2 seasons, though, seasons 4 and 5, have actually started feeling much more like Breaking Bad episodes, because you're seeing significant character crossover. You're seeing Mike Ehrmantraut and Gustavo Fring entering the picture. So now it's like the teeth are joining between the two shows, and it's like it's getting harder to distinguish between them, which is why it's so hard for me to choose. I don't know. Have you, are you watching Better Call Saul as well?
I am watching Better Call Saul. For me, it was a slower burn in those first three seasons. Like, I liked it. I wasn't going to not be watching it, but it wasn't like I was, I feel like Breaking Bad, I was like on the edge of my seat, couldn't look, needed to walk around. Like, I was very stressed out watching it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Breaking Bad's about the drug trade and Better Call Saul's about legal matters and like filing deadlines and, you know, shit like that.
Yeah. But I feel like, especially in this last season with the introduction of, I can't believe I'm not remembering his name now. I'm seeing his face very clearly in my mind.
Talking about Lalo?
Lalo. I kept wanting to call him Mondo, but that is the guy from Sesame Street, in case anyone's wondering. Mondo. Lalo is just great. He, like, in the introduction of that character is just, has been so amazing. And, like, that arc, which is just beginning, it feels like.
Yeah.
Is... like, I'm now nervous when I'm watching Better Call Saul. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't. And when, and what makes it so awesome is that I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. But like, it's still just, they've introduced enough characters that like, I don't know how it's going to go that like, I'm scared.
Right.
It's like, oh my God, what's happening with Kim?
Right.
You know, what's happening with Nacho? What's like, these are, I these are the things that like, I don't know what's going to happen with. And it could go either way. Cause like, maybe they weren't in Breaking Bad because they're gone. Or maybe they weren't in Breaking Bad because why would they be? They didn't have anything to do with that story.
That's the thing. The characters that weren't in Breaking Bad, you're immediately nervous for. Because, you know, it's protect Kim at all costs. We don't know what's going to happen to her. We hope she's okay.
Oh my
God. Like, we don't see or hear from her.
She's made some bad choices.
But I will say, you were talking about Lalo, and that's why Saul is in the conversation, because that connective tissue of like, Lalo is this huge character, but it was also, he was also mentioned in Breaking Bad. One of the very first times we saw Saul, he's like in the desert, bag over his head, things aren't going well, he doesn't know what's going on, the bag's ripped off, and he's like,
no, it wasn't me, it was Ignacio, he's the one. Oh no, oh no, 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 no. Ay, siempre soy amigo, siempre, siempre soy amigo del cartel. Shut up. I just speak English. Lalo didn't send you? No, Lalo?
Who?
Oh, thank God. Oh, Christ.
And it was a throwaway line, throwaway name anyway. You don't hear about Lalo for the rest of Breaking Bad. And now we see where that starts coming in and why, like, in this moment in season two of Breaking Bad, I can't imagine these creators had any idea that there would even be a Better Call Saul, and yet they've been able to pay off that Easter egg. It's just...
it's really good.
Oh, it's so, so good. So... so, but I got to make a decision. So
you have to make a decision.
So what I think has to happen, I'm going to say Breaking Bad is in the criteria as one of my best shows.
Okay.
Until Saul concludes, I can't change it because I don't know that, I don't know yet.
I agree with that.
But I think in, you know, 6-8 months from now, when we get Saul back and the story concludes, I don't know. I mean, I wore this shirt for a reason today. You know, wearing a Better Call Saul shirt.
Yeah, he's wearing a Better Call Saul shirt for those of you listening at home. No, I think that's a good call because although I am completely confident they're going to stick the landing on Saul, I don't know what that ending is going to look like.
Me either. But I'm in this position where I like, you know, I wore the shirt because I like, I'm rooting for this show. Like, I want it to take Breaking Bad spot almost. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to end so perfectly and connect so... I know it's, we know that they can do this. We know you're right. They're going to stick the landing and I'm rooting for it to take Breaking Bad's place, but until it finishes, Breaking Bad, best show on my criteria. What's your first best show, Brandy?
So my first best show is also I have to choose.
Okay. Wow. Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So, except in your case, it was two dramas. In my case, it's two comedies.
Fun. That tracks. I dig it.
So I think I know what I'm going to pick, but
okay.
I'm going to talk it through with you.
Okay.
Okay. So first up is Broad City.
Oh,
just
yeah.
One of the best shows ever made. One of the best comedies ever made. Alana Glazer and Abby Jacobson. They're amazing. And I love the show because I think it's so funny. I also like, I really relate to it because like I was of the two, I was Abby.
Okay.
Definitely in my New York, my young 20s New York life.
I felt more Abby as well than Alana. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I was Abby. My friend Christos was 100% Alana. Still is. But like, I just, there's not a dud episode in the bunch.
No.
And I love that they went, well, it was four seasons, five seasons.
Four or five, around there. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I was so sad when it ended, but also just like, no, you guys did great. Because guess what? Like, Abby and Alana can only exist as, like, from 25 to 31.
Right. Yeah.
Alana, you just pulled a bag of pot out of your vagina.
I know.
Why would you do that?
I do it all the time. Honestly, it's the safest way to travel.
Apparently, I have been smoking this tainted weed for I don't even know how long. I didn't mean that. This is disturbing to me.
I don't know what to tell you. It's in a bag. And, you know, the vagina is nature's pocket. It's natural and it's responsible.
Like, after that, it's like, you can't be that anymore.
Exactly.
Because then it's like, girl, you got to get your shit together. Like, it's time, you know, which is what happened. And like, the last episode of that show was just so great. Oh, like, I love it so much. It's just so funny. Like, being like, living in New York for, I've now been in New York for 17 years, you know, spent a large portion of that time, like, in the East Village.
Right.
In like the backwaters of Brooklyn. Like, you know, but no, the episode they went from the bottom of New York to the tippity top, like, it's still like, I love it, which is in this, like, I think that was like almost the last episode.
I think it was last season, because they were doing,
yeah,
like,
it was in the last season.
Yeah.
I loved the choices that they made in the last season. Like, when they did, I think it was the bottom of the tippity top, where they did it all through the phone.
All social media. Yeah.
Yeah. All through social media. Like, I was like, that's just, it was just so smart. Made so much sense. Like, just the writing on that show was great. The acting on it was great. Like, I love that show.
Yeah. I friggin' loved it. I loved that show because it was a look into female friendship in a way that I hadn't quite experienced, mm-hmm. that I could also still really relate to. It was one of those shows that just consistently got better every season, right? And that's hard to do with comedies. That's hard to do with TV in general. And then also knowing to go out on top. They went out at their best. That finale, I think, is the best finale of a comedy I've ever seen. I cried. I laughed.
So
it was
good.
I watched it right, like, as soon as it ended, I watched it again. One of the best finales of all time.
Them walking out of the subway and then just seeing everybody with everybody's Abby and Alana. And it's like, yeah. You're right. That's how it goes. Like, it just, it was so good. But the other choice is also a really, 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 really good comedy.
Okay.
And that is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, Sophie's choice. My God.
It really is. Like, it's really killing me. Like, I have loved Curb Your Enthusiasm, like, from the jump. I don't care how long they take off. Like, I am always there. Larry David is just a genius. Seinfeld was one of my favorite shows, like, growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I still really like Seinfeld. It was, you know, like you said, like, this is like a moment in time.
Right.
If this moment in time was 1999, Seinfeld would be on my list.
Sure.
You know what I
mean?
Yeah,
of course.
But Curb Your Enthusiasm is just so funny. And it's so awkward and like cringy.
Right.
And like, but you just can't look away. It's such a train wreck of amazingness. And everybody's bringing their A game. Like, Susie Essman, Jeff Garlin, Larry David, like, Richard Lewis. Like, just. My favorite season is the one that's the, it's kind of like the Seinfeld reunion.
Yes, the Seinfeld season.
The Seinfeld season, yeah. I also love the season where the Blacks came to live with him.
Right.
Like, Larry! Oh my God, like, it's just, and I mean, my favorite episode is the one where he is dating, oh God, is it Catherine Hahn? Is the mom? No, or is it Anna Gasteyer?
Those two are hard to separate in my mind as well.
Right?
I get it. I get
like,
it.
Okay.
So no disrespect to either. They're both brilliant.
Yeah, they're both great.
Remind me of each other a lot. Yeah.
But one of them, I think it's Anna Gasteyer. Larry's dating her. She has a son. He gets the son a sewing machine for his birthday. And the son is like a little, like, seems like a little bit gay. So, and right. he's like, I like love fashion. I love fashion. So he gets him a sewing machine. Annika Sari gets really mad at him. He's like, why did you get my son this? And he's like, I mean, he obviously loved it. And as soon as he got it, he's like, I love it. And then Larry is like at the house and he like draws a swastika on somebody's face. And the son is like, oh my God, what is that? I love that. And he makes yeah. Susie a purse and puts a swastika on it. He's like, it goes like this and like that.
Yeah, that's right. And then Susie like, Larry, how could you? You taught this kid a swastika.
It's just like, it's so funny and it's just so well done. And it just feels so like authentic and like in the moment.
And like, which... A lot of these things that you're saying remind me of Broad City.
Yeah. Like
authentic, a very clear creative, a very clear voice, always continues to get better. This last season with Latte Larry's was off the charts.
My God, Latte Larry's. Like the bathrooms. Oh my God. No, it's so good.
So what are you going to pick?
Yeah. So what am I going to say? You know, I think, you know what? When I came into this, I was kind of positive that I was going to do Curb Your Enthusiasm. But now that I've really started talking about it.
Oh my God.
I think I'm going with Broad City.
Oh my God.
I'm going with Broad City. That's my best.
I love it.
That's my first best. Broad City, Brandi Crawford Eryu's first best show.
Wow. I think that's a great choice. Friggin' awesome. Oh my God. Yeah. Two heavyweights. Yeah. Very hard to choose, but I was hoping you'd go with Broad City. I think that's the better show in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, Larry David, it almost feels like he can kind of like turn it on. Like it's just mm-hmm. kind of always there where Broad City felt like more of a creative achievement in a way.
And also everything that happened in Broad City felt so unexpected.
Yeah.
Not that Curb Your Enthusiasm is expected, but like, you know, the like Larry David's going to be on his bullshit.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
You can kind of anticipate the beats of it, you know?
Yeah. And they're very good beats and it's very good. But like, I feel like Broad City just, it's just so fresh. On to show. What's your second best, Dan?
Okay, my second best, we're going to talk about some reality here. The best reality show that I've ever seen and continue to see, it's still on the air. It's still bringing it. It's on now, depending on when you're listening to it. It's probably on because it's on every year. Mm-hmm. Top Chef is the best reality show of all time.
Okay.
I love it. It was
okay.
One of the first, it wasn't the first reality competition show that I watched. There was Road Rules and game shows and things like that that I had seen Survivor. But Top Chef was the one that like felt premium. It felt that there's this polish to it. It felt like the skills on that I was seeing was something that I could never do. You know, like I could try out for Road Rules. I can go on a game show, but like I can't compete on Top Chef. There's no way. The food is out of this world. It's, I think, my favorite just kind of genre of reality, the art competition series. I really, really love, I like the competitive aspect of reality TV, but it also allows you to really invest in characters as the season goes on. There's never been a better trio of hosts, in my opinion, than Tom, Padma, and Gail.
Did you start watching it when Padma came on? Because she wasn't on first season, right?
She was not on the very first season. I think the first season I watched was with my mom. My mom actually got me into the show. She watched it first. Give her that credit.
Okay.
If you're listening, Madre, thank you. I think I started around maybe like season like 5, 6 or so.
Okay.
I remember like, you know, Voltagios and Richard Blaze and Jen Carroll and like those characters.
Marcel,
exactly. He was, I think, season 2. So maybe I was on it earlier now that I think about it. But yeah, Top Chef.
Okay.
It's just for me, pound for pound, the best. Pound for pound, I think it's the best reality show on the air, and it, like some of these other shows we've been talking about, it gets better every season. They find better chefs. It's shifted. It's on Bravo. It's in a category of its own on Bravo. It's it's dramatically different, especially in this day and age, than you know, a lot of the other shows on that network. And they've really turned away from like those early seasons. There was a lot of like reality drama.
People are gonna live in a house. What's going to happen in the house?
Yeah. And they're still in a house, but like you never see it because it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. The later seasons, they really lean into like the camaraderie and they all support each other. And they're, you know, a lot of them know each other in real life. There's just a really great Like, if I could be in any production bubble, I would choose the Top Chef bubble, put it that way. It just feels like such a community now, and that comes through in the show and makes it even better in later seasons. They just did a recent LA All-Stars that I think was the best season they've ever done. It was also premiering during COVID, so it like really hit for a lot of reasons. It's just, I think it's the perfect reality show.
Two questions for you. One, do you have a favorite season?
Ooh, yeah, I do. I do have a favorite season. So over COVID, this is one of the shows that I went back and rewatched some old seasons. So I rewatched season 4 in Chicago, season 6 in Las Vegas. That was the Jen Carroll, Voltaggio brothers, okay. Mike Isabella's first season. I watched DC, and then I rewatched season 8, the first All-Star season. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is my favorite season.
Okay.
It just, because I think that's where it clicked. Like, by then, they had kind of gotten past, like, the reality, dramatic nonsense for the sake of it. And it, like, really honed in on, like, oh, returning characters. So I kind of already had, like, personal stakes in rooting for favorites there. The skill level was raised just because they were returning. Some of my favorite people went really far. I won't tell you who won in case you haven't seen. I highly recommend... If you want to start on a season, this is a good one to start with. And there's plenty that comes after and, you know, people return to be judges and stuff. But I think my favorite season is season 8, All-Stars for the first time around in New York. It was also a New York City season, which okay. I love now living here for so long.
And second question is, do you have somebody that like you really wish, like really should have won?
Yeah.
Is there a chef on that you just wish like, oh God, you really should have won. Like they went so far and... they did so well. Like I would eat at their restaurant. I have eaten at the restaurant.
Yeah. This is tough. I feel like I do have an answer to this. I got to remember what it was though. Hold on. I do have an answer. Yeah. So I think this is funny. It's another New York City season. It was the first New York season, season 5. We're going to spoil season 5 of Top Chef. So if you haven't seen it and want to watch it, skip ahead 30 seconds. Hosea won season 5 and he was just kind of like a meh, like bald white guy in a season of like 37 bald white guys. He was also like, they really dialed in on like, he had a significant other and someone else in the house had a significant other and then they hooked up and it was this whole storyline that I hated. And he just kept hanging around and he ended up winning in a season that also featured Fabio and Carla Hall, which are two of the all time friggin' greats.
Yes.
Fabio went out before the finale. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he would be eligible for like should have won, but he ended up being fan favorite, deservedly so. Carla's in the finale and it's not that I think she should have won because of she was robbed or anything, but I wish she would have won. She made one critical mistake. She listened to Casey, who was her sous chef, about one of the dishes that didn't go right. She didn't listen to her gut. Like that's the one that I really think coulda, shoulda, woulda gone differently if I had my way. Carla should have won season 5.
Well, I am really happy that like Carla is like still killing the game.
Yeah, big time.
You know, like she's still like...
she rebounded big time.
Yeah, she did. Like I'm happy about that for her.
And then she came back for that All-Stars season that I mm-hmm. mentioned, which made it great as well.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. I love that.
Are you a Top Chefer? Have you seen...
I really like Top Chef. I watched a lot probably for the first... like not that I didn't watch the first season, but probably seasons like 2 through 6-ish, maybe 7. I didn't see the first All-Star season. I think that was maybe when I had kind of stopped watching a little bit. And then I would like
at the exact wrong time, Brandy. My God.
I know. I would still like pop back in. Right. And then I started watching again this past summer during COVID. So I watched the second All-Star season. And I was like, why don't I watch Top Chef more? But now it's on the DVR. So Portland, here we come.
Portland, here we come. And I will say I'm such a Top Chef fan. And if you know me, all of this tracks. I'm in a Top Chef fantasy league where you choose two chefs and you get points for a quick fire wins and in the winner's circle and elimination wins and all this. I'm very excited about it.
Look, at my combined bachelorette party, we had a Top Chef portion. Like that's how we ate every night. Like there was three teams and Moses and my husband, we got all these like crazy ingredients and each team we made sure had somebody that could cook.
Right. Good call.
And everybody picked 10 ingredients and you had to make a meal.
Gosh, we just can't not do reality TV show shit.
I know. We can't. That's
who we are.
I produce everything in my life.
Same. Oh my God. All right. What is, Brandy, what's your second best show?
My second best show was really a no-brainer for me. And it was one of the first shows that I actually wrote down. And that is The X-Files.
Ooh. Da, na, 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 na,
yeah. Na. So I love The X-Files.
Wow. I don't think I knew this about you.
Yeah. Well, it's because, you know why? It's because, A, it's not on in syndication as much as I'd like it to be. But this was a show. I recorded it every week, okay? And it used to come on, I think, one of two things happened. Either it came on Sundays and then they switched it to Fridays.
Oh, okay.
It came on Fridays and they switched it to Sundays. But whatever the case was, when it was on Fridays, it was a no-go for me because I was in marching band. And I would literally call my dad from a payphone and be like, "Dad, just reminding you. Like, I set the timer on the VCR. Will you please make sure it's recording?" That's how into the show I was. I also have David Duchovny, one of my first loves. One of my first,
oh, sure. Dreamboat.
Oh my God. Like that man, the things I do for him. Sorry, Moses. but yeah, I love scary shit. Like I was a big Stephen King reader. I used to I fancied myself like a horror fantasy writer as a 15-year-old.
Okay.
and I just loved everything about the X-Files. It's one of those things that I should own all of it on DVD and I don't. And
yeah.
I'm not sure why I don't.
Well, I'll tell you, I just looked it up. You can stream it on Hulu.
Oh, so Hulu. Okay.
Look into that. So why though would you put it in your best? Like, it sounds like the way you're talking about it, like you had like a connection to it. Like maybe
I did have a connection to it. And I thought about it being favorite, but I put it into best because I just don't think that I haven't seen a scary show done well on TV before or after X-Files.
Wow. Okay.
Like
it stands alone in its category.
That's why I'm going to put it in best because I feel like it's, I love that it kind of ran the gamut of scary.
Yeah.
From kind of psychological scary to actual monster scary to just creepy people scary, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then you've kind of got that anchor of Mulder and Scully kind of taking you through, and you kind of see both of them have such an arc. And I also am not a big alien person.
Okay.
But there was obviously a very big alien thread in the X-Files.
Brandy, the truth is out there.
I know. Like the whole show is based on his sister being abducted by aliens.
Right. It's going to be a through line.
Yeah. So it's that's kind of that's why he's doing this and why he's so weird and why they put Scully with him. But obviously there's so many episodes and there are definitely some duds, but for the most part, I feel like the show is just a super, super solid, creepy show.
Creepy and for sure.
I just really appreciate that because it's even, I think about American Horror Story, which in the first season of American Horror Story, I'd say the first 4 to 5 episodes were really scary.
Yeah.
And then it was just okay, now this is kind of dumb.
I was going to say, when you mentioned there hasn't been a good scary show before or since, my thoughts went to all the Twilight Zone heads. We apologize, but I think it's a different sort of anthology. There wasn't that core of a Mulder and Scully. Mm-hmm. And then my head went to American Horror Story. But again, mm-hmm. anthology, some seasons are much more solid than others. You know, I've fallen off of that show in recent seasons. You know?
So have I. I feel like I fell off. I was in it season 1, season 2. Season 3, was that when they did the carnival?
That was 3 or 4.
That I was like, nah. The witches, was funny, but not that great.
Yeah. Yeah, Apocalypse was weird.
Yeah, and there's Haunting of Hill House on Netflix was pretty scary, I'd say.
Sure, but a bit of a one season wonder,
yeah.
You know?
No, I just feel like X-Files was it's just a solid show. I mean, it fell off a little bit as it kind of got to the end, but what are you going to do? Because I also think that we forget that network shows used to be 22 episodes a season.
Yeah.
That's a lot of episodes.
You're going to have some duds.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. And we'll get into that when we talk about one of my favorite shows too. That's tough. Like, that's really tough.
That's tough.
But yeah, no, I love the X-Files. I feel like for the most part, it was a very, very solid show from beginning to end. And I loved it.
I'll tell you what. I agree with you. Phenomenally creepy show. I'll tell you my experience with this show. This, if I had this conversation with my dad, he would put the X-Files somewhere in his criteria. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
He loved that show. Aging myself, I'm a little bit younger than you. So when X-Files was on and my dad was watching, I viscerally remember. So my room shared a wall with the TV room. And he loved the show. So he would crank it when he was watching it. I was in bed or trying to go to bed. And that fucking theme song would come on. It scared the living daylights out of me. It kept me up late so many nights. I hated that show because it kept me awake. Like, I was so scared of it. Like, my dad had the soundtrack and like the music was creepy and he loved it. It was always
on. Oh my God, you would have been so young too. Cause if I was like 14 or 15, you were what, like 10? Like 9 or 10?
Like 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's young for that.
Yeah, it scared the shit out of me. But and for that reason, I think I haven't ever really gotten back to it. I've never really like gave it a chance because like it's still, I kind of have like this, you know, childhood block about it. I should talk about this in therapy, but like, yeah, I haven't gone back to the show because it scared me so much. But I will say, one of the shows on my list, Breaking Bad, Vince Gilligan like cut his teeth on the X-Files. And I think a lot of, he's kind of known for like writing some of the better episodes of that show. So like, I don't know. If you had to give me a season or a couple episodes to like get back in, what would you suggest? What were some of your favorite episodes or stretches of that show?
That's funny. So this is like, I actually went back to take a couple notes because I was like, I haven't watched it in a while. And I was like, I just want to make sure I remember. Because I know like the most memorable episode of the X-Files and that I would definitely tell you to watch, especially if like you want to be so scared, is called Home. And I don't even know, I mean, if it's on Hulu you can probably find it, but like they only showed it on TV I think once.
Oh fuck.
It is so scary. Like even thinking about it right now, like I don't know if I want to watch it again.
What was the monster? What was the scary part?
The scary part was this family that was like inbred in this house and they were like, they were monsters.
Oh boy.
It was so scary. On Vulture ranked all the episodes. They ranked it as number 3, which I might have put it at number, like it depends on how, what you're bringing. For you, for like scariest, like it's, oh my God, it's really, really, it's, and it's just, it's so gross too. Like there's, it's.
Oh yeah. I don't like gross out. I'm much more of like a suspense, jump, scary.
This is suspense, jump, scary. And like, then when you see what they've been hiding from you, it's scarring.
Oh God.
It's like, I'm looking at this thing right now and it was like, it was such a crazy episode. Fox has never re-aired it.
Oh my God. This is why I had fucking nightmares as a kid. Shit like this.
And then I would also say like, I don't know, my favorite, so I feel like X-Files is kind of split into two parts. There's like the ongoing arc of Mulder trying to find his sister or find out what happened to his sister and like the lies that his dad is, and his parents have told him about his sister being kidnapped, right? And then there's like the Monster of the Week episodes. And my favorite episodes were the Monster of the Week episodes. Like I wasn't as invested in Mulder figuring out what happens to his sister because I'm like, my guy, there's no aliens.
Right.
Like that's not a thing. But like the cigarette smoking man was a great, great character.
Yeah. See, like that's, I feel like that's what I would, that's what I would want to find a list of like, if you want the serialized story, here are the 7 episodes to watch every season and do kind of like an abridged X-Files experience. Cause like the Monster of the Week stuff, like, you know, that sort of case of the week, you know, standalone TV structure has never been my favorite. That's why I like more of the arced reality than some of the others. But yeah, I would want that serialized, like give me the story that can feel a little bit more bingeable, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there's another episode that I really like when Mulder and Scully are like trapped in Alaska. It's like really creepy. But again, it's just super creepy. And you know what? Like that, I wonder if that was written by Vince Gilligan because it's got echoes of the Fly episode from Breaking Bad.
Oh, interesting.
Like they're stuck in, they're like stuck with these doctors in Alaska and everybody is about to like go crazy. But yeah, so I don't know, X-Files. And I'm sure that somewhere there is definitely a list of where you can find like the Mulder story.
Yeah.
But I feel like I love the earlier seasons. So like anywhere from seasons probably like 1 through 5, I'm down for. But like also recognize there are 22 episodes in every season.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's a good
So like it's a lot to go through.
I feel confident to say I'm probably never going to watch the entirety of that series.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm okay. That's okay. That's an okay choice.
But I love learning this about you. I did not expect this to be on your criteria. This is so fun.
Yeah. So X-Files. So yeah, my best shows are Broad City and the X-Files.
That's a dynamite duo. Like you're covering a lot of ground there. My best shows are Breaking Bad and Top Chef, both shows about cooking things to an expert level, I suppose.
Yeah, it's true. Cooking things that look amazing and that lots of people want to buy.
Right. That's fun. All right. So we had a surprising pick there. Let's move on to our favorite category. And so we haven't revealed our list to each other except for one point. And I think we should tackle that now because we share a favorite show.
We do share a favorite show.
We share a favorite show. You know, this is one of the many reasons why I approached you to join on with this show is knowing that we'd get the opportunity to talk about the show together probably more than once. And this one is definitely not a surprise. I think we knew this about each other going in, that this was going to be somewhere in our criteria. I think it's fun. It both landed on our favorite list. Our favorite reality show is The Challenge, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Where do we start? The Challenge right now is kind of having like a glory moment where at the time of this recording, we're in the tail end of The Challenge Double Agents.
Which is what, the 33rd season?
This is season 36.
36. Wow.
And you know how I know that? Because I listen to the official Challenge podcast and they do 36 second recaps of each episode because it's their 36th season. Yeah, we're obsessed. But yeah, kind of having a moment. Not that it has it, like it's gotten to such heights that it can now have two seasons on simultaneously on two different fucking networks. And we're here for it. And I'm excited about it. And it's
a great show.
It might be. If Top Chef is the best reality show, in my opinion, I think The Challenge is the perfect reality show.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with me here, because it combines so many things that you need for great reality TV. You have a cast of just absolute sociopaths, just bonkers lunatics, all of them. And the rare, like, normal person is always, like, the fan favorite. You're like, wow, how did that get this person? Protect them, please. You know, Leroy, oh, my God, how did you get there? But they found ingenious ways to keep bringing new people in that we'll talk about. Great gameplay is kind of morphed from, like, you know, kind of Survivor, Big Brother-y type, you know, games to, like, true feats of athleticism. You need to be in shape. You need to have endurance. You need to have strength. You need agility. Like, you need to be an athlete to compete on The Challenge. It's billing itself as America's fifth major sport, which is kind of a joke, but like not terribly far off.
But
I mean,
not terribly far off. You got
Olympians on this shit now. Like, Lolo Jones was on The Challenge twice and quit.
Yeah.
She quit. She couldn't handle it. Like, you know, and then add to that, like, you know, TJ Lavin has been a great host. And I think for me specifically, this was a show that made me want to make reality TV shows. I remember watching it and thinking, like, how do they come up with these challenges? How do they come up with these twists? How do they put these people together? And really what I was, you know, really what I was like so impressed by was like, how do they develop and format and cast and do all the things that you and I now do for a living? It like kind of informed an interest in making this sort of TV. And it's for that, it holds a place near and dear to my heart. And it's my favorite reality show.
You know, for me, because like I kind of refused to get into The Challenge for the first, I'd say like 4 or 5 seasons, like from when it started till probably about 2006, 2006.
Okay.
I was like, no, I didn't like Survivor. I was like, I don't like these outdoor shows where they have to do things. Like, that's not who I am.
Right.
But like, I always obviously love The Real World, but I did get into it because my roommate was really into it. My boyfriend at the time was really into it. And I was like, fine, I'll watch. And then I was like, what? And so the first season that I really got into was the season where they left Paula. She was working with them the whole time, and then they left her on the boat. They left her on the island, and
oh,
Kenny and Johnny and Evelyn all got on the boat and left her.
Oh my god! So that must have been like, gosh, I don't even know what season
was that.
That
was the island.
The island was. It started as individual, and then it became two teams of four. But there were boats. Yeah, I think it might have been the island.
Okay. But I guess like the Paula thing really stuck with me because I was like, that was the first time Johnny Bananas showed his fucking true colors, that piece of shit.
Oh my God. I know. The thing about the challenge, they're all pieces of shit. Like the fact that anyone ever believes anyone to or expects them to keep their word in any way is just fallacy. Like, remember what show you're on. What are you doing?
Amber B.
I know.
What are you doing? But no, for me, the challenge was just a super fun, just like getaway. And mm-hmm. I watched it every week. Like it was always like a watch thing at my house. People were coming over. When I met my now husband, like he also loved the show, him and his roommates. And so I was like, we are meant for each other, obviously. And we had literally just started dating and we were like, if we should have a challenge bachelorette party.
I love
and
that.
I remember walking across, randomly seeing a friend of mine as I was walking across 3rd Avenue and 45th Street, because that's where my office was on 45th between 2nd and 3rd. And I see my friend Brian walking across the street and I was like, Brian, FYI, we're going to have a challenge bachelorette party. And I don't know when it's going to be, but you better get ready. But so yes, I did have a challenge bachelorette party. It was really fun. There were three teams. We had shirts made with people's names on it, the challenge on it.
Sure.
We made up games based on various challenge games from the earlier challenge seasons when they did things like have to melt ice with their bodies.
Yeah, sure.
And like,
back when the challenges, the daily challenges are much hornier than they are now.
Yeah. Back when like challenges were like engineered for you to like make out with your castmates.
Yeah. Break this balloon between your body parts. Go. Yeah.
That's a good one, actually. We should think about that one for the next one. We want to call it Rivals. But no, it was super, super, super fun. We like had my friend who like wasn't really our friend. He was like my friend's brother-in-law, but like he had a nice camera. So I was like, Sean, you're going to produce this for us. And it was amazing. We had a confessional room set up in the laundry room. The people loved it. They could just go on and press photo booth on the computer and just like, it was really, really amazing. But like, what I love about the challenge is the returning characters that you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that like they continue to surprise me, because I was like, get out of here. I don't want to see Are You the One people on this. And then I'm like, oh my God, I love the Are You the One people.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I don't want to see these Brits on here. And it's like, oh my God, how have we not had Brits on here before? They're insane. Like,
yeah.
You know?
This show's ability to reinvent itself is, I think, somewhat unmatched in the genre.
It's because, astonishing.
Like, to your point, like bringing in, well, it started with Fresh Meat, mm-hmm. the season that you mentioned, where, so if you somehow haven't heard of or watched the challenge, it actually started as Real World versus the Road Rules challenge. And everyone was kind of plucked from those two shows. And that's how they cast out these seasons. And it went from there. After a while, the Real World and the Road Rules stopped happening, or mm-hmm. was happening much less frequently, at least on the Real World side. So they needed more people. And they just did an open casting. They called it Fresh Meat. And that's how they started bringing new people in. I think they did another Fresh Meat down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they started bringing in other MTV shows, starting with Are You the One, which I also was like a little bit suspect about in the beginning, but like some of the best freaking characters and players have come from that show. Like Devin is great and mm-hmm. Tori's a beast.
Tori
and
is great, like, yeah.
You know, and now, yeah, there was War of the Worlds where they started bringing in Brits, which, stroke of genius.
So genius.
I can't picture the challenge without Kyle. I can't do it.
And also, like, how do we not know that? Like, obviously, like, have you guys seen a British reality show? Like, they're insane.
It's wild.
So, like, yes, get us everyone from Geordie Shore and Love Island.
Yeah. And then, too, from, like, a formatting standpoint, and this is what really, you know, gets my TV producer juices going, but, like, they're still surprising us. Like, I can't believe it took us this long to realize, like, oh, yeah, you should have to win an elimination to qualify for the final. Genius twist.
So good. So good. Like,
and the show didn't need that element. It was doing fine for 30 plus seasons. And then they twist that up. And not only in this season, you know, do you have to win to qualify, but when you win, now you gain a huge amount of power and you could steal a teammate. Like, they just keep adding these twists. And it's funny, I think we both listened to Bill Simmons and
Jacoby
have a recap podcast, and they consistently say, like, these producers just make it up as they go along. And I think that's largely not true, knowing what goes into these shows.
Yeah.
But it feels like it is, which is fucking genius, to be able to feel like they're just kind of creating in the moment to make the best drama possible. And yet we know that that's not how it works. It's next level formatting, and I love it.
And what I also love about the challenge is that, like, I remember when I first started watching it, I was just like, oh, I was like, they have to be, like, do they have to do all this politicking? It's like, why can't they just play the game? And now I'm like, you have no game. Oh my God. I was like, don't you, like, why are you not talking this up? Like, what are you doing? Like, I'm like getting mad when people don't have good political game. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Okay, so I have two questions. I think we should spend a little, because we each have chosen this as one of our picks. So I feel like we should dig into this a little bit more. Okay. I want to hear from you. What are the moments that stick out most in your head? Like, when you think of the challenge, just generally, what are the moments that your brain goes to?
All right. So sorry, spoiler alert, everyone. But the moment that I go to...
No one's going to rewatch these seasons. Come on.
Okay, great. The moment that I go to all the time is when Johnny Bananas was partnered with Sarah Rice. Sarah Rice is one of my favorite people who's ever been on The Real World, ever been on The Challenge. I love her because when she got on The Real World, she said the reason that she wanted to be on The Real World was so that she could be on The Challenge. And I respect that.
Hell yes. Love it.
Johnny and Sarah were partners.
And again, Rivals 3. So there's some long-running bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there've been a couple rival seasons. The whole crux of it is you're teammates with someone who you hate for whatever reason because of this long challenge history.
Mm-hmm. And they got to the final. And TJ was like, all right, well, here's the twist. After they won the final. And they won the final because of Sarah. And TJ's like, okay, so the final twist is you can either take the money or you can split the money. And Johnny got to make the decision and he took the money from Sarah. My jaw dropped. Like, my jaw dropped.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it. I was just like, what?
And it was,
what?
And it was especially shocking too, because throughout the season, you really thought that they had buried the hatchet. You really thought that they had become friends again. The second half of the season, they were like working really well together and relying on each other. And they get to the challenge and they're like, we got, like, they were the clear favorite. They're two of the best competitors. They're working really well. And TJ throws a twist. I think he did it at the beginning when they first started the run. And they're like, he's like, so this will be timed individually and the best individual time of your team gets to choose.
Oh, that's why Johnny could do it.
Or we'll have a lot of, gets to like make some big decision. They kind of all figured out, they're like, okay, the best time is going to get to either split or keep the money. And then all three teams in the final made it to the end. Everyone, like, cause there's like, you know, different levels of prizes. So like, I think Devin made it, I forget who it was with, but Devin split it with his partner. Whoever came in second place did the same. And then it gets to Johnny. And they had talked about it. And then Johnny was like, yeah, they were both like, we're splitting it. We're splitting it. They had talked about it throughout this final. And then they get there and
I'm still mad even thinking about it. Like, I can't believe I'd actually forgiven Johnny too. I'm back on. I hate him again.
Well, then you're going to love my most iconic moment. It's what's affectionately referred to as the backpack. the elimination challenge, because I think like this show makes its bones with the elimination challenges. That's where like the most shocking, the most brutal, like the moments when people want to tap out outside of like the finale, it's these eliminations. And there was one, it was CT, legend, one of my favorites, historic asshole, complicated of individual.
To say the least. Also like a huge, scary man.
Big, huge, scary man. It was CT versus Johnny, and CT comes in, and I can't remember. I think he came in as like a, it was another twist thing. Like Johnny wasn't supposed to go against CT. He came in, and it was like twist. You actually have to go against this, you know, this mercenary guest, and it was CT. And the challenge was they're attached by like they both have straps on, and they share a backpack that attaches them by the back. And it was like pull your opponent to the finish line first. It was one of those classic like, all right, dig in the sand, who has the willpower to like last longer. And CT just straight up like stuck his feet in the ground, leaned forward and lifted Johnny up off of his legs like a flailing little child, little toddler, and just kind of marched his way in the quickest, most jaw-dropping, like it's still in all of the super, in all of the montages to this day. Every time I think of the challenge, I think of that moment. It was just so, cause like Johnny, you love to hate him. And that was his lowest, like most embarrassing, just absolutely punked moment.
So good. So good. Another favorite moment of mine is, well, I mean, I love like all of the, every fight that's ever had, I love. Two of my favorite fights, when Laurel just goes off on Big Easy, like calling him fat, and it was so mean.
Oh, fan favorite so Big mean. Easy. I love Big Easy. But, so excited he's on All-Stars.
But also, I love the Bloodline season because of Jenna and her cousin, who I can't remember her name right now. Maybe it was Brittany, but like they had a big fight about that Jenna was jealous because like she didn't work at the bakery. But my other like super favorite moment was during a final. And this was a final I feel like I hope is what like kind of made the producers be like, okay, you got to win an elimination to go into a final because people are like skating to these finals.
Yeah, they're coasting.
And it was Jenna and Jay in the final. And they were at the station where you have to like eat something gross, which like, hello guys, if you're watching the challenge, you're going to have to eat something gross. Prepare for it. Okay. Like hold your nose, prepare.
At least once. Probably during a daily and then during the final.
Yeah. And Jay like refused to eat it and TJ goes,
what's up guys?
What's up, Teach?
It looks like you guys are doing a terrible job. Get it done. If you guys don't get it done, you're out. So get it done.
It's just not working. My stomach just won't let it go down. I hated that thing.
Jay, are you crying? Are you serious? Have you ever seen this show before?
Yeah, I have.
This is part of it, man.
Trust me, I'm more disappointed in myself than anybody. I could do anything but this.
All right, but this is part of it. So what are we doing? Make a decision right now.
How would you feel about calling it?
Okay.
Jay and Jenna, you guys are done. You leave here with no money. I'm really disappointed.
I have it on my phone. I have the video of it on my phone.
That is one of the most iconic things about the show as well is TJ is the host. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about TJ for a minute, because I'll tell you what, I mentioned I've gone back and watched some of the shows on my list, and the challenge is one of them. I haven't gone deep like I have Top Chef, but Paramount Plus now has lots of seasons to go back and enjoy. And it starts with season 11, which is The Gauntlet 2, which is one season before Fresh Meat. So this was a this was 05 into 06, and it's TJ's first season hosting. I think that's probably why they started with this one on Paramount. So it's like, it's just all the TJ stuff. And he's green. You could tell, like, you know, he's having trouble corralling the cast, and he's kind of got to like yell over him.
Is he still wearing BMX t-shirts?
Absolutely. From day one, we get BMX highlights to so that we know who he is back then. And you could tell he's kind of out of his depth and he's finding the ropes, but one thing that has been true from the jump is I think as early as episode 2 of his first season, someone like phones it in a challenge and he immediately is like, are you quitting? I don't like quitters. You shouldn't quit. Like, and immediately gets on them about it. I'm like, yes, from day one, this is his thing. He hates quitters and it never disappoints. And there's always at least one or two every season and he always lays into them. And it's so God, like it just makes me so embarrassed for them, because like,
like TJ,
if you've seen the show at this point, you know you can't quit. It's serious, and he comes after him. I love it.
No, it's great. I love how his wardrobe has changed. Like, now he like literally looks like, I mean, like these like nice jackets he's got on. I'm like, that looks really expensive.
Yeah, expensive jackets. He's riding around in helicopters. Yeah. Like he's blown up on this show for sure.
Yeah, he really has.
One last question. I don't want to say favorite character, mm-hmm. because we've kind of talked to, you know, like that's, I think, too easy, and we'll probably have a lot of crossovers, but who would you want to be in an alliance with? Like the three or four people that, and forget about whatever their existing relationships or alliances are. Maybe it's your team. Like it's a team season. It's you and three others, mm-hmm. three or four. Who's on your team?
And I can pick from all time.
All time in their prime.
In their prime.
Yeah.
Evelyn.
Excellent choice.
100%. Laurel.
Yes.
Like I'm trying to CT.
Mm-hmm.
And then my fourth is, I feel like I want to go with Emily.
That's great. That's good.
Yeah, I feel like I'm winning with them. Sorry, Sarah.
I would also go CT in mine.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I need a big guy. And he's good at puzzles.
Yeah. Yeah. I would go CT. Let's see. I'm always on the fence about Wes.
Wes talks a lot of big game, but like, how good is he?
But like Wes in his prime, remember? Like we're not talking about current yeah. players, like yeah. in their prime. Cause this is the thing with CT.
Mm-hmm.
What is CT's prime? Is it now when he's like a better human, but is bigger and slower and plays maybe a bit of a lazier social game? Or is it like when he's a physical beast, but you got to worry about him flying off the handle every 30 mm-hmm. seconds?
I think when he's a physical beast, we'll keep him under control. That's why he's got to be on Team of All Women.
That's a good point.
He won't
That's
fight
a really
us.
Good point. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go Leroy.
Okay.
From, I think, like, this season.
Yeah, this, I was like,
which is
this,
him at yeah. his prime. Like, Leroy now, mm-hmm. CT, I'm going to go Sarah.
Okay.
I'm going to go Sarah. And I think you're right with Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
Evelyn was just...
Evelyn's great.
Yeah. I think that would be a really strong team. I love that neither of us picked bananas. If our friend Steve is listening, he's saying, how dare you? I think he'd probably pick bananas four times. He could.
I mean, look, Bananas knows how to play the game. I'm not saying that Bananas wouldn't be a good person to have on your team, but like, I just can't with him.
Yeah,
he's like, I mean, I like, listen, I love what he stands for, because like he's an integral part of what the show needs to be. You gotta have somebody who's gonna stir shit, like how this season I feel like Devin tried to like take that role, and like I appreciated that from him. It's like, yeah, just go and just stir shit up for no reason.
Yeah,
that's what we gotta have. It
Bananas, really, he's the soul of the challenge. Like he has kind of turned himself into like the picture perfect representation of, you know, he can do challenges, he can do eliminations, he's perfected the social game, he has that veteran kind of be scared of me, but then always fucking flirts with the rookies and gets in with them some way, somehow. Like, mm-hmm. we may be both flawed for not picking Johnny, but you know what? We also stand by our morals. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Johnny, you're not another.
And I'd rather beat Johnny than have him on my team.
That's a great point. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
And also, you know, you're in a Top Chef fantasy league. I was in a Challenge fantasy league, like for a couple years.
Yeah.
You got points for things like who is going to make the toast. What else was like, or you would get points if you like kind of chose who was going to win for that week. But you also got points if like you, like basically you picked who your roster was for the week, and you got points if they got into a fight, if they got drunk, if they threw up.
Right.
It was pretty great.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, I want in on that. Let me know next time.
Yeah.
If it's still around.
Yeah. No, it was really fun.
Love it. The Challenge.
It's a great show. The Challenge. Great show. Watch it.
Great show. Dual favorite. So, Brandy, what is your second favorite show?
My second favorite show is